match. All right, let's go. Proverbs 18. All right. Proverbs 18. Here we go. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you very much. I want to especially thank the Lord for the orchestra members. Thank you, orchestra, for your willingness to come every chapel service and doing that. Thank you very much. I'm very grateful for those, that trio today, Jesus Never Fails, and it's sung by three of our finest graduates. And I'm very grateful for Megan and Leslie and Brother John. I'm very thankful for their testimonies of faithfulness to the ministry. And I praise the Lord for them. Thank you very much for the special. Tomorrow, Brother Froki will be preaching, and I'm looking forward to that. Going to be good. Looking forward to that. Brother Snipes we have Thursday, and I think we have, let's see, the pastor from Bern. Is he going to be here on, is it? Brother Marsh is on Friday, so he's got some great chapel messages coming up, and I'm very thankful and looking forward to being with you. I do want to remind you real quickly, I almost say this with a little bit of embarrassment because I've repeated these oftentimes. But as I shared with some of you early in the semester, I was sitting here on the platform one day trying to think, Lord, what do you want to accomplish in the ministry of Hiles Anderson College? And the Lord directed my heart to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15, where Paul is telling, he said, I want to come to where you are soon, Timothy, but if I don't come, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And one of our joys and opportunities for you to be in college is to know how you're supposed to behave yourself as young leaders in the house of God. And there are six principles in Timothy, and I want you just to review them with me for a second, and I want to go to the message I want to give. But chapter 1 of Timothy is all about keeping your doctrine sound. The word sound means hygiene, clean, keeping it clean. Just say what the Bible says. Don't get it cluttered with other things and other things you'll hear and other things that are going on. Keep your doctrine sound. Because doctrine determines, what you believe determines your destiny and it determines your behavior. If you believe that watching questionable music or listening to questionable music and watching questionable movies and things of that nature, if you believe that that's okay, you'll be watching those things. And the more you watch, you cannot help but speak of the things which you see and you hear. But if you believe that those things are counterproductive to your spiritual walk, you'll abstain from that. And there's a lot of things that you won't see and won't hear that will corrupt your heart. Every one of us, we are on the high road of holiness. But there are ditches on both sides. I want you to stay out of the ditches. It's much easier to stay out of the ditch than get in the ditch and try to get up on it. To challenge. So I want you to understand, doctrine determines destiny. Doctrine is not just what the Bible teaches about the virgin birth and the vicarious atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ and all these, the coming events. Doctrine is stuff like flee youthful lust. Don't be a fornicator. Okay? I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the works of them that turn aside. They'll not cleave to me. Hey, doctrine determines what I do. It determines what I believe, and it determines how I function. So, keep your doctrine sound. Chapter 2 is make prayer in your walk with God a making prayer and my walk with God a priority. And that's where he said, first of all, that prayers and supplication, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men. Make it a priority in your life. Your sermon's a whisper, but your life shouts. And really, what you are determines a lot about your time with God. It's your quiet time with God that gives you power to obey. So, number 2, make prayer and your walk with God a priority. Number 3 is spiritual reproduction. Say it with me, spiritual. Because the third chapter of the book of 1 Timothy tells us that you need to win and disciple others who will fill the two positions in Christianity. Those who will pastor a church and the deacons and the deacons' wives and the other men and women who will help that pastor that church. And you know how we get pastors? When someone goes soul winning. You know how we get pastors and people who help their pastors? When someone goes soul winning and they disciple people. The servants of God are garnered through the discipled ones. Okay? And tonight we have about 60 people that go to a Bible Institute. Almost all of them got saved at First Baptist Church. Not all of them, but many, over half of them got saved at First Baptist Church. They went through discipleship. And now there's something going on in their heart. They want to learn more. And they're going to a Bible Institute. And some of them will become pastors. Some of them will become just better servants of Christ. But the people who will pastor and help their pastors are people who are discipled. And so this is why you're on the bus route. You're trying to win the lost, disciple the ones you win, and from that, God will develop leaders. Some of you are going to be amazed. You're going to say, I can't believe God used that little girl. She was on my bus route when she was 13. I led her to Christ. And you're going to come back. You'll go off from this. You'll come back to visit, and you'll see her walk around the campus here. You'll go somewhere in the world and you say, my goodness, I can't believe that girl is a pastor's wife now. I can't believe that young man turned out like that. He is being used of God. And it's part of the process. So keep your doctrine sound. Make prayer a priority. He said that make sure you spiritually reproduce. Chapter 4 is kind of keeping herself out of a seared conscience, but also it's being a good example. And it is being a good example. It's modeling a good example to those around me close and the world abroad. And then chapter 5 is relationships and? One more time, relationships and? It's my interacting with people. Every day, Pastor Wilkerson and any servant of Christ, and you the same, will be, if you're serving Christ, you're going to be interacting in those things, keeping your doctrine sound, making your walk with God what it ought to be, winning, discipling others, being a good testimony, and then working with people with respectfulness and responsibility. And then the last one is financial management, chapter 6. I want when you finish college here, I want to be able to look at you and say, and you can look at me and say, you know what? God helped me keep my doctrine pure. He's helped me walk with Him. He's helped me win and disciple others. I'm trying to be a good testimony. I want to learn how to work with people with respect and responsibility the way God would want me to work with people. And then you've managed your money with wisdom. That is part of the process. And I don't want to be redundant. At the same time, I never want to be afraid to repeat the obvious as the obvious that many of us have forgotten. And I want you to know this is my goal for you. There's no way we're going to teach you the major doctrines of the Bible, the deep theological truths of God's Word. Those are things you're going to develop as you go. We'll teach you the basics, the articles of faith, the systematic theology. We'll give you some basics. And a lot of it, you don't even know what you're learning. You don't even know why you'll need that. We'll work on today in church ed talking about hiring staff. Many of you won't hire staff for 15 years from now. And you will long have forgotten what I taught you today in church ed about hiring staff. You'll mean about risk management or other things will go, and some of those things are going to sink. But if we could get the basics of those six things in your heart and life, the sky's the limit what you could do for the Lord Jesus Christ. If anyone sees those six things, someone who is doctrinally sound, someone who walks with God, someone who reads, wins, and disciples others, someone who's a good testimony that treats people with respect and handles their finances with wisdom, you can take those people anywhere in the world and God will use them. And that's my heart and my prayer for you. Today I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 18, if you would please. Proverbs chapter 18. The Bible says to the verse, through desire a man having separated himself seeketh and meddleth with all wisdom. Would you read it with me again, everybody? Proverbs 18, 1. Ready? Through desire a man having separated himself. Father in heaven, I pray you give me wisdom just in the few moments we're together to take these truths, then Proverbs chapter 18 and 19 and 20 over the next few weeks, and just share some practical things I think will be helpful to our student body. I love them, and I am so humbled that you would bring them from all over the world to this location. Thank you for your providence, and thank you for the privilege of being together, and thank you, Lord, for the people that influence us and love us. Thank you for the facilities and the property that we can live in while we're here. Thank you for the people that they're affecting on a regular and weekly basis. But I pray, God, you would take these truths and apply them to our hearts and life, especially is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just take a few weeks in chapel that I have a chance to speak to you and talk to you out of Proverbs 18, 19, and 20. There are some highlighting things. I won't probably go to every single verse, but there are several things I think if you could get your head around, you would be a wise young person, and wisdom is the principal thing. If you get it, there's a lot of other things that follow you through life. Wisdom is pinpointing and practicing what God says. You ever see a happy, older person, you'll see them, person who has exercised wisdom. They've pinpointed and practiced some biblical things. And there's some things I want to share with you this morning that I think just, they're right out of the Bible. There's nothing rocket science about it. But the first verse is, through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Not everybody is pursuing wisdom.
Right.
In the book of Proverbs, you'll see that there is a simple person. Most of us are simple. There is a foolish person. There's a scornful person. And then you'll find there's a wise person. Your pursuit, the blessings of your life, depend heavily upon your pursuit of wisdom.
Right.
The Bible says it's more valuable than gold or silver. It will bless you your whole life. And yet, it's not something that's going to come to you just because you want it. I want to be wise. I'm sure Brother Collins I'm sure that Brother Mitchell, Brother King, all of us want wisdom. We have to ask for it every day because we have problems every day. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He said, well, you need wisdom to handle problems. But wisdom is not going to come to you just because you want it. It has to be pursued. And there's some things here. I want you to notice the first main word that you see there. Through what? You got to want it. I understand not everybody wants it. You're here at Howells Anderson College. I don't know all that God did to bring you here, but I do understand this. If I knew your heart and I knew what was going on behind those brown or blue eyes, I would be maybe blessed, I may be surprised at your pursuits. Some, you don't have enough wisdom right now to seek wisdom. He said, but it has to be a desire inside of you. There has to be something to say, Lord, I do not want to be an idiot. I do not want to be foolish. I've studied enough about foolishness to understand that it is a terrible end. But, quite frankly, foolishness is bound up in all of us. It's bound up in the heart of a child. It's natural to be an idiot. It's natural to be foolish. Okay, and you guys are living proof of it, some of you. And I have been living proof of that. It's natural. But he says, number one, you're going to have to get a desire. Now, I can't give that to you. But the Bible says, I will pour water on him that is... You know, I can't be all that in a bag of chips, but I can be thirsty. He said, if you want something, I'll give it to you. And God is dispersing. He says, I am not a respecter of person. He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men how? Liberally. And upbraideth not. Doesn't get mad at you if you ask him for help. But there has to be a pursuit. And I want to encourage you. That's something I can't do for you and you can't do for me, but we can decide, you know what? I'm going to ask God and I'm going to desire to exercise my life with wisdom. I don't want to be a fool. Now, if you read the book of Proverbs, and I hope you do it, I think it's a great stage of life to read it one chapter every day. I will honestly tell you, I don't always do that today. I do at this stage of my life. I probably should, but I've done that many times. I've read through the book of Proverbs hundreds and hundreds of times. If you just read it through one time, one chapter a day, you'll read it through 12 times a year, and you will be a far wiser person, and especially during this season of your life. It'll be extremely good, and I still think it's good for me. And I have read it, and I read it yesterday, but I don't do it always habitually as I probably should. But I would encourage you, especially when you're at this stage of life, you need the principles of Proverbs. They'll guide you. They'll help you. But it starts with a desire. You have to get a desire. Through desire, a man, the second thing is not only desire, but distance, separateth himself. Through desire, a man himself separate himself, seeketh and meddleth with all wisdom, and meddleth with all wisdom. The second thought is distance. Young people, you grew up in a culture where your phone, social platforms, movies, gaming, is very much, it's just a part like breathing for many of you. It's very normal for you. I'm not interested in games. I don't have games on my phone. My phone is a tool, and I don't use it as a toy. My wife does, but I don't do it. Just teasing. But it's nothing wrong with games on your phone. I don't think there's anything innately wrong with that. But in the time I grew up, it wasn't something I found out about. I found out about a phone in the year 2000 when I became a pastor, and they had a phone in the safe, and they said, this is our former pastor's. It's still on. We can't disconnect it. We want to just use it. And I started using that, That cell phone in the year 2000, most of you weren't even born yet. In 2000, that's when I first held one in my hand. Okay? But things are different now, and we understand that. But I will tell you this, you need to desire wisdom enough to be willing to separate from things that are counterproductive to that. This year I asked you not, and we put a rule book in the rule book, that you're not supposed to watch movies on your phone, in your dorm, or on your computer. Some of you are struggling with that. Because movies is what you do. When you get downtime, when you chill, when you zone out, you watch a movie. And you watch things you shouldn't watch. You have seen things with your eyes and heard things with your ears that are counterproductive to a lifetime of ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you wish to goodness you hadn't watched things you've watched. But you're having a hard time with that simple rule. You're like, I can't believe this. You're at a Bible college. We're not trying to train someone to turn wrenches, though some of you will do a great job with that one day. And you'll do it in the will of God. We're not training someone to do culinary arts, though I hope you learn how to cook for Mrs. Cowley. But we're training young people that will one day stand in front of people and influence people. And God's going to bring a group of people around you. And you know what the devil wants to do? He wants to take every single movie and every single counterproductive thing, or whether it be a gaming system you shouldn't be doing, or it could be something else. And what he's going to do is he's going to strap little bombs on you, little hand grenades. He'll put one here and one there and one there and one there. He'll put it here. And then he's patient. He'll wait till you're a youth pastor somewhere. He'll wait till you're a youth pastor's wife someplace. He'll wait till you're working in a Sunday school class and you have 40 kids around you that look to you, Brother so-and-so and Miss so-and-so, they're the best. We love them. They just took us to camp. And then he'll detonate you. He'll blow you up in the middle of that so he can hurt other people. Satan is a master terrorist. He wants to get, people don't go out into the middle of the desert and blow themselves up. They go to a busy bus stop, a mall. They go to where they can hurt other people. Satan is doing that same thing today. And some of you, you're fighting against simple things, and you're not willing to distance yourself from things that are wrong. You want to hold on to some music. You want to try to explain that to the Lord one day. You know and I know that that music does not generate a heart's love for God. You know it. Ask the Holy Spirit about it. You know it. But you won't take it off your phone. It's a stronghold. You know how you know you have a stronghold? When you pull it away, it pulls back strong. It pulls back strong. You're sitting there like, I know I'm not supposed to watch this movie. I don't want to see it. You want to watch something. You want to see something. You want to hear something. But friend, you cannot have the wisdom from the Lord unless there's a desire for it, but also willingness to distance yourself from things that are questionable. The Bible says, he that walketh with... Okay, sometimes you have to distance yourself from relationships that are not necessarily... They're not bad people, but when you're together with them, it's not good. There are some people that I went to college with. I loved them. I thought they were so stinking funny. But I found out when I was with them, I wasn't the Christian I needed to be. I kind of took a slide to the left when I was with them. They would just say some things that are a little bit maybe off color or just a little bit negative toward the authorities of our school or this rule. And it was just like that. Or they would question the chapel speaker or, hey, what do you think about that? You know, and they would want to be the arguing, get us in, and they would try to get me involved with that. And the truth of the matter is, they were good guys, and many of them are still faithful servants to the Lord to this day. But some of them are not. Some of them have had a train wreck of a life. And I, for one, am very grateful that God protected me and I distanced myself from men and women who are questionable. Because you can't lay with dogs and not get fleas. You cannot live a holy life on a diet of the next flicks of Netflix and on HBO and Encore and whatever else. You can't. You're drinking your bathwater if you think that casting crowns music is going to help you be a godly, committed, holy Christian. It's not. It feeds the flesh. The men and the women who sing those many contemporary songs and many of those things. I'm not saying I'm going to spend eternity with many of them. They really are genuinely saved. But they're on a pathway of imitating the world. And you are not going to be winning the world by being like the world. You have to distance yourself. And when I think about the music, I think, number one, how are the people who are singing this? What about the men? What about the message? Is the message pure? Because sometimes you can find a song that has a good message sung by questionable characters who are not going the right way. Their attitude, their actions, their philosophies. Years ago when I was growing up, there was a lady named Amy Grant. And she was very popular. Evie was another person. Some other, they're not bad people. I don't know them well. But just to, I was pointed to a couple articles and what she said. And you know, Amy Grant went from being a Christian singer to a pop singer. She started saying it was no problem laying on beaches and intermingling with the world and taking clothes off and doing things. She was just like, oh, yeah, I want to be normal like everybody. I'm just a Christian, but I'm just normal. Now she's not even known as a Christian. And yet it was a challenge in our dorms years ago. Hey, man, did you hear what she said? I said, yeah, I don't think so. I had to make decisions in my day. You have to make decisions in your day. And there are people and things you have to decide. Amen. But it's going to start with a desire and a willingness to distance yourself so you can intermeddle with all wisdom. Amen. And people, I want you to be wise. I want you to experience the blessings that come with wisdom. But you'll never do that if you don't desire and you don't distance yourself from things counterproductive. So much of the Christian life success is not what you do, but what you don't do.
Right.
You don't do. That's why God gave us his word. He says, now I'm giving your word for doctrine. This is what you do. For reproof, this is what you don't do. For correction, when you mess up, here's how you get it right. And for instruction in righteousness. Here's how you stay right. I want every one of you to stay right. And I want you to keep a life that is pure and holy and full of wisdom because it's a principal thing. And when you get it, you get so many blessings. When you're a fool, the Bible tells us that stripes are for the back of fools. And a foolish person is someone who just, he knows what the Bible says, but he ignores what the Bible says. Fools are argumentative. Fools are rebellious. Fools have their own ideas. They don't want to submit to the biblical standards. They've got their own ideas. And they're real quick. You can always tell a fool when you listen to them talk. He says a fool's lips are perverted. You can tell a fool by his speech. And you know what affects your speech? What you see and what you hear. So two words I want to give to you real quickly, and one of them is desire, the other one is distance, and the other one is discipline. You'll need to desire wisdom, you'll need to distance yourself from things counterproductive, and you'll need to discipline yourself to say, Lord, with your help, I want to stay on the right path. I love you, and I'm glad to be in chapel with you today. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Without an invitation publicly today, I want you to talk to the Lord for a moment. Listen, I didn't tell you what Pastor Wilkerson thinks. I don't think. I think I took you right to the Word of God. I want you to meditate through desire. Do you have that desire? Does it need to be stoked? Does it need to be encouraged? A man having separated himself, how close are you to worldliness and things that are counterproductive? Seek and intermeddle with all wisdom. You must discipline yourself. Some of us, we need discipline. That pornography's drawing you back in. That movie's drawing you back in. That music's drawing you back in. That friend is drawing you back in. That social media is drawing you back in. You're looking too many. And things that are not funny to God are funny to us. We haven't distanced ourselves from it. And we just decide, Lord, please help me. I want all of you to make it. I want all of you to be a positive influence. I don't want anybody to get bombs strapped on them in these series of your life, these seasons of your life, that would hurt others later. No one wants to hurt anybody else, I hope. Ask God for desire, for distance, and for discipline. Father, please work in hearts. Thank you for the joy of being in chapel today. Thank you for this great group of young people that you have brought to us. They're unbelievable. Really a blessing. A great spirit week. A great spirit, things that we could not manufacture. Lord, you have brought to us some of the best young people. Not all of them, Lord, are clicking on all their cylinders right now. They're struggling. I pray you'd please help them. Help them not to see or listen to any message, this one included, through a personality, but help us look at it through principles of the Scriptures and how we can live in such a way that we can be blessed and be holy and righteous and used of you. Please help us, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much.